Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
I'm very happy that this morning we have a chance to fellowship with one another. Your pastor was going to put a cross here. I don't know when the cross will come. I would have shown you how the cross looks like. The cross is made up of two lines. One going up and one horizontal. So that is the symbol of Christianity. That is the symbol of Christianity. And please, I'm speaking, William. What is wrong with you? I'm speaking. You can't be chatting while I'm speaking. Please be seated. Sitting room, and you find the stove in the sitting room, the gas stove, and then you go to the bedroom, and you find a wheelbarrow. Go to the kitchen and you find the toilet bowl. Everything I have mentioned belongs to a house. For a house to function well, you need even a wheelbarrow hidden somewhere to be used to move things. But where they are is what makes the place a place of confusion. So in your life also, when you don't learn to do what is right at the right time, when you must do A at this place, you do A at point A. When it's time to do C at point C, I'm teaching you how to have a good life. Find somebody who is 70 years. We're all in this country. It was in the news. An 85 or something year old man in the north finished SHS. It's great. It shows the man's greatness to be able to study when you are 90 years. But it doesn't, please sit down. It's not great in a certain sense also. At 90 years, you shouldn't be going to school. So every phase of your life allows you the opportunity to do something. If you don't do it in that time frame, and you do it another time, you are creating confusion in your life. Even though everything you are doing is the right thing that must be done, but when the time you chose to do it is a very important thing. That is why, as we live our lives, we attach ourselves to people. If you are a young girl here without a ring on your finger, is it sensible for you to attach yourself to a lady pastor who has children, a husband, is working in town? Because you have none of those things. It is the graces she has that will be transferred to you, so that you don't do what you should have done at age 28, at age 82. Like, as I'm speaking now, there is a time to talk and to have a discussion about arrangement of chairs or the clock on the wall. No discussion is inappropriate. It's actually to help the service. But when you are doing it, is the time, is a problem. So those of you who have a chance now to go to school, this is the time to concentrate. If you don't do it, then later in life, there will be problems. Just because what you should have done as a teenager, you didn't do it. You can choose to do it in your 30s, but it's not the same. There is a time for everything. Everything has a time. You can think of it in different ways. But another way is that everything that you must do in your life has a time. And once you plug, you unplug, you remove something that must be in place at a particular time, you are causing confusion in other seasons of your life. Other seasons of your life. I'm speaking generally. I'm talking to the married woman and to the unmarried woman, the pastor, the married man, the student, the church worker. One of your responsibilities in life is to pray to God to show you when you should do something. Because when the season for that thing passes, I tell you, it will be difficult for you. So this morning, I'm happy to talk to you and preach God's word to you. About fruitfulness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, you find it in other books, at least one. But I like Luke for a reason. Verse 9 of Luke chapter 3. You know, I want to ask you again. Are they coming in? Are they coming to church here? Or they came for something? They are coming in. Can they come in, or there's a problem outside? There are chairs here. There's a couple of chairs here. Maybe they are not. Please, not many people should move. Okay, let them go. If they are going somewhere, they should go, please. An usher working well should have stopped them there. I'm sure they are lost, aren't they? Yes. Yes. Because somebody is not working well. I can actually end the service today. What I have told you in 3 minutes is enough for you to think about for 2 years. Without any verse in the Bible again for 2 years. It is what makes the difference between Cecilia and Stella and Francis and Alex. Two people. The difference is when the time. You read the Bible, you hear things, the time of the harvest, the time of the evening sacrifice, the time. Young boys and girls, listen very, very carefully. You are very blessed to hear what I'm telling you. Some people lived till they were 60 without hearing this. Never think that you can do anything at any time. It's not like that. It's not like that. You are a 17-year-old boy. The fact that you are having strong feelings for a girl doesn't mean you must be into a beloved at age 18. It doesn't mean. You rather must see a pastor to help you to manage those feelings. So that you, 18 years is school, exam, pass, school. At the time. Not girl. Verse 9 says, and now also the acts. I sense that I'm talking today for. I'm speaking to you for a short time. That's what I sense in the spirit. He says, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down or cut down. And cast into the fire. I hope that the lady at the far back can hear the sound. Well, there's a speaker here also. We are going to correct all these things. But I hope you can hear me. Yeah. There is a fire in life. There is a fire in life. And the fire is somewhere. It's not everywhere. That's why you see the English phrase cast into. Cast into means that you are putting something at a particular place. You are casting it into the sea, into the river, into the box, into the car, into the area, into that house. So into means that the fire is somewhere and you are throwing it there. Now that fire is not in the church. I'm talking in points. The first point is that the fire that will make your life difficult and painful, the fire that will make you suffer in life. When you see such words like the fire, don't think of hell only. Because there are fires also on earth. There are fires on earth. Now, that fire is not in the church. In the church, what is in the church is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof maketh glad the city of God. This is not a place of fire. So where is the fire? The fire is in the world. That's the first point. So you and I, who are here in the church, have been rescued from a fire. When God makes it possible for you to walk through the doors of a church, you see, I didn't know this till I met a lady. Only one lady has said this to me in my life. She said, I may not know because I've been a pastor, I've been in church for a very long time, but it's not easy to enter a church. I said, really? What do you mean? She said, yes. When the doors of the church are open, you may think that anybody can just enter. But there is a pull, and a force that prevents a person. She said, for years, on Sunday morning, she will have a bath because she's from a very religious, spiritual. Let me give her the credit. The parents are spiritual. They are even the leaders in a particular church. So in the morning, and I'm not talking about a little girl, this is a grown up working with a child, mature, super mature. So the parents would tell her that we are going to church. Are you also not going? She said, I'm going. So she will have a bath, everything dressed, check, sit in a car. To drive her car to a church's car park was a difficult thing for her. She said on Sunday, she would drive her car through Accra. Drive through the places. And in the afternoon, go back home. She said she could not enter a church building. Till one day, somebody held her hand and took her to church. So when you are sitting in church, you may think that it's nothing. But it's a very, very difficult thing God has made easy for you. So now we are in church. We are in church. Let's talk church. Now, what keeps you in church? And you are listening to somebody who has been in church for 40 years. Today, I'm happy to have my brother and my friend here. We got born again on the same day. Yes. Yeah. The same girl. The same 16-year-old girl who led me to Christ. It's the same girl. We were brothers. We have slept on the same bed for years. Same bed for years. So, you are listening live to a voice which has been in church for 40 years. Has not backslidden, has been in church, is in the system. Please sit down. When God puts you in church like this, I'm going back to a point I made. He has rescued you from a fire. Let me give you examples of some of these fires. Drug addiction. Alcoholism. Impregnating of a girl when you are not ready to have a child. The boys are listening to me. Some things I say may look funny, but match what I say with the face, the ugliness of the face. I should tell you that it's not a funny matter I'm talking about. Some of you boys here, your life will be held hostage by a baby for the rest of your life. I'll take it again. Your life, I'm not talking about girls. Boys, your life will be held hostage by a baby, by a child. It's that child in your life who will slow you down or arrest your development in life. It's a fire. You can imagine that the next person I'm going to talk about is a girl. Yes. Who one day, if you are not careful, can have two children with three fathers. Yes. And I say this all the time. And the brother said, but what? Do you know anybody? I said, oh, I just see it. Oh, no. I know a woman who lived with us. She had five children and there were seven men. Practically. There are parts of the city in Accra. When you go there, you find that picture there. Women with children and the fathers are plenty. They can't even know who is the real. Because we look alike. Even as I stand here, I see faces that look like my face. As ugly as my face. So if I have a child, you can easily be blamed for that child. Fires. A girl in my life, 26 or 25, she died last week. Similar circumstances. She had a chance to be in church. Good school, good education. We discovered that when I say good education, only three people here have that type of education. But at 26, she was a high class prostitute till last week. High class prostitute. Not knowing that as we were there, not knowing that she was actually on drugs. Ecstasy, cocaine, because God put her in the church. But at a point in her life, she was something. See, these are indirect statements and cast into the fire. Who casts? It is, oh, and pastors will cast or evil men will cast you, or a wicked man or angel. We don't know, but in the end, you have been thrown into a fire. So for the past 2-3 years, she was in a fire. Drugs and sex. She died with brain condition from drug use. 26, girl, not a boy. When God puts you in a church, it's not the end. Sitting here doesn't end your responsibilities. Because if you can enter, it means you can leave. Women have something that fascinates me. I saw it in my mother, and I've also seen it in my wife. They have these chains, you know, a chain. But there are different ways of locking the chain. One of them is that is the one end is a circle, and the other end has a bar, something. So when you put it in it, it just opens up and it can't come out. I can't do how to describe it. Some chains have it. So you put the thing inside the round thing, and once it goes in, it becomes flat and you can't come out. Here in the church, entering doesn't mean that you can't exit. What prevents you from exiting is that bar. It's called fruit. If you are fruitful in the church, you can't fit through the door. The door, you can't go out. You can't go out. If you are not fruitful, if you don't bear fruit, you'll be slim enough to pass through the door. Being in church is not enough. I see destinies as I look at you. I see chartered accountants, owners of businesses, pastors. When I see you, that's all I see. But some of you are going to end up as drug addicts, chained like an animal in a room, because the fire is not here, it's out there. All of us, including the boy preaching to you, we have all been rescued from the fire. But it doesn't mean that you cannot be thrown back. See, that is something about God you don't understand, which is also important for me to teach you. Yeah. One of the acts of God, you know, God, he makes the rivers, the moon, the stars, and so on. One of the acts of God is that he can undo what he has done with his own hand. That is, he can take your yellow dress from you because it's a bad thing. And then, if he sees that you don't deserve that type of kindness, he puts it back on you with his own hand. He can take joints of weed from you. If he sees that you don't deserve that kindness, he himself will put the weed back into your hands. It's one of the things God does. He actually holds you and puts you back into the place. Sometimes he does it, or evil or sin, but he has agents. God has agents. God's agents are not just prophets and pastors. What Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible is described as a servant of God. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Be very careful. Very careful. Because God is sensitive to those who fool around him. You will be surprised that what he has done, he will undo. He forgave a man who owed $50 million. The man was suddenly free of a debt. by God is called forgiveness of debts. That man, when he left his presence, met somebody who owed him $5,000. I'm talking about 50 million. And then 5,000. The guy would never allow the guy to go free. He held him. So somebody saw what he was doing and went to report. So the man was called that asked, we hear that you are behind the house attacking somebody who owes you 5,000. Is it true? It's true. But just 20 minutes ago, I forgave you $50 million. What did he do? He reversed. He reversed the decision. And the punishment the man was going to get for owing 50 million was reinstituted. You're not forgiven again. So that type of English phrases and songs, like he has thrown your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, it is a sea to you and it's forgetfulness to you, but God, he can actually say, come back from the sea. You remember how Jesus Christ found money from the mouth of a fish? Yeah. Whatever he has forgiven you of is not as forgotten as you may think. It is far from you for as long as you can also forgive somebody. You will be surprised that he will bring back your two abortions as a case against you when you are 45 years. He will bring it back. So I'm informing you today, please be seated, that be very careful you don't go out. Because sitting here this morning is equal to being rescued. I know women who were on the front seat. Today they are walking in town. Some are near mad. What keeps us in the church are the fruits we must bear. You don't bear fruits, you will slide out into the fire. What is a fruit? What is a fruit? A fruit is anything Jesus needs from you at a particular time. That's the definition of a fruit. At this time you've been in the church, he expects that you will bear the fruit of breaking your relationship with this married man. It's a fruit. He expects that this will not be in your life. So when he comes and you are still with the man because you've not finished university, then you've not borne a fruit. Then he says the axe is every tree. As I stand here, there is an axe laid on my tree. You may think every step I take, the axe is also moving. It's a moving axe. And you think I'm the only one? There is an axe lying, but every tree is there. The root. But some axes will lie there for 100 years. Because when the axe looks up, it sees fruits. Then it starts breathing in and out. It's lying there. When the axe looks up and there's no fruit, then you go back. For the past 3 months, she was living somewhere in Accra with a man. When she died, they looked into her phone and found some many numbers, but they just picked one. Or as they tried, they found the man that she spent the last 3 months with. Said, this girl has died. Edna has died. Said, what? So she came. the man, he appeared in the girl's father's house for the first time. He appeared, I think, the day, and went to the hospital to see the body. He didn't say anything. They've not heard from him again. All his things are in his head. What he knows about the girl is in his head. Nobody knows. That life that girl lived, every girl here can live that life. Every girl can live that life. But some, it is the fruit you bear that locks you, that prevents you. Dancing is a fruit, but it's not such a good fruit. It's not such a good fruit. Dancing is just, you are entertaining a crowd. If you were spiritual people, as you are on the stage dancing, there should be healings taking place. Fruits. Your Bible, owning a Bible is a fruit. Like you are holding a Bible. This is a Bible. It's a fruit. When God comes to you, he expects that you will have a Bible. And a proper Bible. When he comes to you and sees your auntie's engagement Bible you are using, he sees that this guy is not bearing fruit. This is a Bible. Bible. Yes. Yes. English Standard Version. When he comes and sees you opening the Bible to have your quiet time, that's a fruit. It's a fruit. Something that never happened. So when I'm standing here and I'm talking to you about fruits, I'm talking to you about what keeps you in the church. Yeah. The absence of that thing just means that it's just a matter of time. Something, an interest, a desire, a friend, something will just take you out of the church. You just go. The next time we hear of you, you are something. That's something. Because there is a devil who is in the world, and he does only three things. He doesn't drive cars, doesn't build houses. He only does three things. The work of the devil is three: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He can kill you before your time. He's looking for you to kill you. Yes, he's looking for me to kill me. That's why I've run away from my church to come and stand here and preach on a dusty floor. I want to bear a fruit. I want something that keeps God. I am not immune to the things that destroy people. I'm not special. So always, Jesus comes to us, and all of us represent that fig tree. He comes. If happily he may find a fruit. He comes to me, he comes to you, comes to him, comes to her, comes. He comes to everyone. And when he comes, he's looking for just a fruit, if he finds a fruit. And when he doesn't find a fruit from you, he curses you. And I've told you that the fruit you must bear, it's not. Have you found the scripture? Yes. She cannot even find the verse because even the fruit of reading the Bible, because she does this work, reading the Bible in the King James language that she uses to do. She has not sat in front of a computer to search for verses in months. So it is the service that I am preaching in that she's using my preaching to do this work. So you can see that there are hiccups. There are hiccups. And I've told you, when you must do something at time A, and you choose to do it at time B, even A prime, it's a confusion. Read your Bible. In John 4, there was a wedding and there was no wine. And Christ's mother asked him, can you work a miracle for us to have wine? He said, please, 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 I respect you. No, it's not the time to just, please, I'm not into these things. I beg you. 2 minutes afterwards, he was asking for pots to be filled. Because to produce wine 2 minutes before the time is a problem in heaven. 2 minutes. To allow a man to hold your breast 1 week before the time is a problem for you. You something bad has happened. Which, you see, I told you that when you see a toilet bowl in a kitchen, it means that there's a hole in a room somewhere without a toilet. He went to the tree looking for a fruit. It was not the time. The Bible says that for the time of fix was not now. It was not the season for fix. So naturally, there shouldn't have been any fruit. There shouldn't be any fruit. I don't know if you understand me. Yeah, there's pawpaw season, mango season. What season? Oranges. Everything has seasons. It's a pear season, corn season, rice season, alaguntugui season. So the time Jesus went to the tree, it was not the season, like orange. It was not the time for oranges. Let's say if oranges, the season is August to September, Jesus Christ went to the tree in April. It was not the season. But he was so unhappy that he cursed the tree. Why? Because for you, as far as Jesus is concerned, the time to bear fruit is not yours to determine. It is when Jesus wants it. It's when Jesus wants it. So if Jesus wants it and it's not your season, you better arrange yourself, and because the time to bear a fruit is not when it is your season. The time to bear a fruit is when Jesus needs the fruit from you. So that's why there's something called in season and out of season. When it comes to God, we all are trees, we are not ready at all times. We are not ready at all times. We all have our season. And there's a lot of time we are out of our season. But you are out of your season for as long as there has not been a demand. If there is a need, you can't say that I am in my period, I've got pain, I'm in pain, so I can't go for the outreach. No. If there was no time, if there was no need for an outreach, then period pain, you must be at home with Panadol or ginger drink, whatever you take for it. But once there is a need, you put your, there's nothing like, it's not my season. It doesn't exist. When you want something from you, you better produce it. Today, I'm giving you one of the laws of Jesus Christ. We've looked at some laws that fruitless Christians will be taken away. It's a law. John 15. The tree that doesn't bear fruit, remove it. There's a time when you are a pastor and you brought 7 souls to church. It's not, it's equal to no fruit. That's why the word is good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. It's not your type. the blue dress you are wearing, this is a type, your type. 7 is not good. So you can have something hanging on your tree, but you'll still be cut down. It must be, it must measure up to your status. Fruitless trees, fruitless Christians. And I'm explaining. When we say fruitless, it doesn't mean just no fruit. But the fruit, don't you have trees that bear fruit but you can't eat it? The fruit is slim. The fruit is slim. It doesn't even look normal. A mango fruit that has divided into two. When you see it, you want to run away from it. Is it a Nigerian movie or an Indian movie? Mango that has it's split. It's like, why? Me, I can't eat it.
I'll run away
from that. So it's not just fruit, but is it a good fruit? Should someone like you be doing this at this time? Should the pastor of your status build a church with 3 stones on a Sunday? 3 stones is a new convert who brings his friends. A pastor, we need an articulator track with different types of stones cut. Which is also another thing. Should a pastor bring an uncut stone? Let's leave that to the 2-month-old Christian who comes around. But you, a pastor, should know that as living stones, the stones that we bring are supposed to be cut stones. You've been in the church too long. Forget about it. Sorry for even using words like pastor. You've been around for too long. You've heard too many messages to just carry an unbeliever and dump the person in the church. That is a boulder. The stones that are used, they are cut. 1 Kings 6. You cut the stone before you bring, so that there is no noise here. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought. Give me the New American Standard Bible. NASB. New Living Translation. The stones used in the construction of the temple. So you can bring souls to church, but it's not good. A lady pastor wearing yellow cannot sit in church with nothing, or with some area boys you have just gone to carry so that we just count them. And so you brought four. First, depending on who you are, the stones used in the construction of the temple, Peter says we are living stones. The stones were finished at the quarry. The church is not a quarry site. The quarry is the town. It's in town, the person's house, your house, under the tree, at the in town. You cut them in town. They were finished at the quarry so that there was no sound of hammer, axe, or any other iron tool at the building site. Well, when we are building the church, we don't need stones which have not been cut. We prepare them with a Bible, a verse. You teach the person, you prepare the person. This is church. This is... You can't be in church listening to hip life. I want to ask you this morning, is your fruit good? What you've done this morning, is it good? So fruitless is not just no fruit. It's fruit that is shocking that someone like you can do this on a Sunday morning. Number 2. Fruitful Christians will be purged to make them bear more fruit. I'm talking about the thing that if you do, you see, like I said last week, it's a core subject. That one, Charlie, if you don't pass it, you can't continue. Everybody must pass it. It's not for the pastor or the chorister or the sound engineer. Everybody must bear fruit. Make up your mind that you must bear fruit. Make up your mind. That is, if you are interested to be here, if you want to go outside, you can go. You can even go to hell. You can go to hell. Hell is outside there. You can go. You can go. It's my responsibility to present God's word and God's mind. But if you feel that, like I'm talking nonsense, it's up to you. You can go. Anywhere you want to go, you can go, including hell. It's up to you. The branches that bear fruit, they are perished. So anybody doing well should expect more corrections. Anyone doing well should expect anger at you. When you are doing well, expect that the pastor will even criticize you. You must be very worried to belong to a church that the pastor cannot wound, shan't rebuke you. You should be worried as you sit down. To be in a house with your mother at home. Your mother, you came from her womb. Your mother at home, she can't say anything to you. She can't shout at you. You are like some queen in the house. You should be worried. It is the beginning of your devastation. Number three, cleanness and purity are needed for fruit bearing. To bear fruit, you must be clean. You must be washed. Washed by the word. Nobody bears fruit if you're not into the Bible. Quiet time, reading your Bible, reading books, attending meeting. Now, I'm having a big meeting this afternoon. Very big meeting. We are changing the nature of Bacenta meetings completely. Totally changing. Number four. Closeness is needed. That's the scripture your pastor read. Psalm 73, verse 28. It is good to be near. You can't bear fruit. Depending on the type of fruit you want, there must be a certain level of closeness. I'm saying it again, I'm ending. Depending on the type of fruit we are talking about, there must be a certain level of closeness. If it's a baby, a child, pregnancy child, then it requires a certain level of closeness. To have a baby with your husband, it requires deep closeness. To have a spiritual child, it requires the appropriate level of closeness. If I want to give birth to a son in you, I don't need to have sex with you. It is when I am married to you that I have to have a baby human being child. Then the closeness must be, there are different types of closeness. That's my brother. We were on the same bed. Close. No wonder we are still pastors. It's 40 years now. It's 40 years. You can't do well. You are sitting here in the church. You have no friend here. So when we say closeness, it's not just God. Not just closeness to God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes even to have the God to be close to, you need a pastor or a friend to be close to. He's the one who told me that a girl has come to visit me. She comes around 7 o'clock in the evening. Then I go and see her off. We are together, we watch TV. Then we leave around 8 o'clock, 8:30. Then I see her off at 8:30. Then I return home at 1 a.m. He told me that it's wrong. You can't do that. And he gave me a verse, an English scripture. It's an appearance of evil. Because the church, we are known as counselors. The girl I was seeing off, I'm just an important girl in the church. Popular, important in the service. When we are in the service, you hear that somebody can stand up and start prophesying. That's a girl. Then at 12:30, you are with a boy at Interboom. Do you know Interboom? My closeness to him perhaps may be the reason why I'm still a pastor today. But for his advice, I might have impregnated that girl long in Taboom. How is it possible you are in the church, you are not close to anybody? All your friends are some ragamuffins in town. But the roadside, they are smoking weed somewhere. It's like, when we close now, no, you are going. You don't have any friend, no boy. It's like, you are too big to relate. Look at the crowd in the church. We survive in this Christian life because of. I talk to you, you talk to me. I correct you, you correct me. We say iron sharpens iron. That is how we bear fruit. No tree bears fruit on its own. You need an insect that will carry the pollen, the whatever, from one plant to the other. You can't just stand there, suddenly you are bearing fruit. It's called parthenogenesis, virgin birth. It's only cockroaches. Parthenogenesis, from the Greek word parthenos, virgin, parthenos. Hardly will you find an organism that just is there, no, that is giving birth. Are you an insect? Are you a cockroach? Normal giving birth is that something jumps from me into you, then you are giving birth. A verse jumps from me to you. An advice jumps from you to me. A counsel jumps from me to you. That is how we give birth. Closeness, pollination, cross-pollination. I know a verse you don't know. Then you also know a verse I don't know. And as we walk, we sharpen. You can't be here. You are alone. Nobody knows you. Then you go to your drunkard friend, to fornicator friend. You can't bear fruit. If you can sit down, I want to end. My time is up. I'm going to preach. Number 5. Abiding in Christ. It's essential. John 15 verse 5. Top. It's the biggest one. Did I talk about this last week? I didn't. I did. Maybe I was preaching somewhere. I'm the vine. This is Jesus. Ye are the branches. The biggest concern of yours, even though I'm saying you should be close to your pastor, your sister, your brother, and so on, I'm very happy that this point follows. The biggest concern of a Christian is not that your pastor knows you, it's that Jesus knows you. It's the biggest. Of course, Jesus, even if you need healing from him, you point to the priest and say, go to the priest. Many of us are in the church who are just abiding in the church. You're an unbeliever. There are unbelievers here this morning. There are unbelievers in the Dancing Stars. Yeah, you are abiding in the church. You are not abiding in Christ. You are an unbeliever. You are an unbeliever. You are an unbeliever. Your first point to abide in is Christ. And then your sister, your pastor, your bishop, your reverend, your friend, your church, your dad. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ.
Watch out
for where you are going to end. If you are sitting here and you are a very dedicated member of this church, but you are not into Jesus Christ, you are lost. Nothing can represent Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can represent Jesus Christ. Christ. Say Christ. Say Christ. There is a time where by listening to a pastor preach, you will know Jesus. So the pastor's message leads you to Jesus. That's the first few months of your Christian life. After that, you need to know Jesus before you listen to a pastor. Anybody who listens to a pastor without a good knowledge of Jesus Christ, a good knowledge of the word of God, which is Christ, you are destroying your life. Never listen to a pastor without you having the word in you. Because as you are listening to the pastor, you need something called conviction. Based on what is in you, that no, this thing, my Bible doesn't teach me. We actually should be marking pastors as they are preaching. Yes. You should be marking. When I say marking, I'm not saying it negatively, but a pastor can tell you something that is not in the Bible. It says his idea. So the Bible says that when Paul, the apostle, preached in Berea, they were so noble, so they took the message. Like, if this is the message, we are finished, then they take the message and they go home. And then they sit down and listen to the message. Why? To be blessed? No. To see if the things Paul said were true. If you don't know the Bible yourself, you will never know that the things he's saying are true. So there is a time when you must know the word of God to even listen. So those who stand up and are blessed, the word hits them where the word is in their lives. That is why the person who brought you here should have cut you properly with the word. So that the word the pastor is preaching, see, the word that enters you is a word you are able to relate with. It's called revelation. Revelation is not just light, but it's light that is also in you. Anybody who is dark and empty cannot have a revelation. You must have something to taste the light. So those sitting down who are not moved, as I've been talking for the past 45 minutes, have no word of God in them. You this week, read the Bible a lot. When you come next Sunday, wow, what a word. Hey, preach on. Something, wow. I can speak Arabic now. And ask you to get up. There's a fire coming. You'll be sitting down. You hear me? You all hear me? It's a fire. The people who will get up, the people who will get up, are those who also have Arabic in them. If there's Arabic in you, you hear what I'm saying. Many of you can't hear me. Because the words I'm using, you don't have it in you. That's why I've given you two scenarios. Because Ecclesiastes 3 talks about opposites. There's a time for everything. There's a time. There's a time to hear the word of God and know Jesus. And there's a time to know Jesus to hear the word of God. If you have a behavior of not reading your Bible, you'll never enjoy church. You never enjoy a gospel song. You never enjoy preaching. You never enjoy a prophetic word. You may think the pastor has insulted you. You must have the word to have the word. In fact, the Bible says that wisdom is profitable to the wise. A fool doesn't have, cannot receive wisdom. You must have wisdom in you to receive wisdom. You must have the word of God in you to receive the word of God. See a pastor as the only place. Many people haven't gone beyond their pastor. They met the pastor and the pastor stopped them from knowing Jesus. Oh, but the Greeks, when they came and they saw the disciples, they said, "We must see Jesus." I beg you, please. We've not, yes, we know you are faithful. We respect you. It's because you are around him that he's even. God bless you for your support. But we are here to see Jesus. How many of you are here to see Jesus? We must see Jesus. We must see Jesus. No wonder they were Greeks. You must see Jesus. Sit down, please. I'm not finished preaching. Don't put pressure on me to end the preaching. If the verses I'm using were in them, one, as soon as, oh, this is John. So you say, when you do a set, a lot of verses will come. You won't waste your time going to Matthew or Luke or that. Or Isaiah. Isaiah. The same, the Greeks. Go to verse 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship. Have you come to worship?
Yes.
21. The same came to Philip of Bethsaida and desired him, saying, "Sir," who didn't come here for apprentices. No. I'm not here for bishops. No. I'm not here for bishops. We must see Jesus. Your greatness cannot stop me. Your anointing cannot stop me. Your healing ministry can't stop me. The church you have built can't stop me. I'm not here to listen to your ideas. I must see Jesus. See Jesus. Sir, with all due respect, you see, when you see the word sir, it's full of respect. Sir, but honestly, I'm here to see Jesus. That's how we last. And if you're a pastor, my advice to you, if you have any sense of self-preservation, that never allow anybody around you close who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who is not spiritual. Don't. Because by reason of your anointing, you will attract. The anointing is a perfume. It attracts. There are boys, children are drawn powerfully to me. Children. Some children, if my name is mentioned in their house, they start behaving well. Boys are drawn powerfully to me. As for girls, I don't want to start talking about it. The anointing has a pulling power because it's necessary. You need it to break the yokes in your life. But never allow people to come within certain inches, certain distances. Don't allow them. They must qualify. What qualifies a person to be near an anointed man is the person's closeness to Jesus. If the person is not close to Jesus, you have taken one of the most dangerous steps in your life as a pastor. And I've bent. You see these fingers? They look normal, but they're not normal. I've bent my fingers with kindness and love and compassion, but no more. That's why I'm advising, because what I survived, you, even hell will not accept you. Never allow anybody. When we say closeness, the person who comes close to you should be close to Jesus, should be close to the word before you allow access. That was the church in Macedonia, come to think of it. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, I think. Yes, and thus they did. You see that these guys are the people who gave even beyond what they had. It always shows. Excellence and fruitfulness is all a result of closeness. Number one is to Jesus Christ. This they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own self to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. There's an order. Yes, suffer the little children to come to me. Let's all that labor come. Everyone should come. No. Don't take one verse. Even Jesus himself never brought. He had just three guys among the 12, among the 70. You must qualify to have a certain level of closeness. For me, I will test your maturity. Your maturity, your spirituality. Because even conversations, I can't have certain conversations with you. I'm not interested. Hardly will you find people sending me nonsense videos hardly. I'm focused. As some of you have got people that nonsense that flying up and down. No. I know a bishop, he sends me one or two of the. When he sees my response, I'm sure he's you know, I'm boring. I like to be boring. Closeness. Today I'm sending you. It's good you are in church. It's good you are here. But for many of you, it's the church that will lead you to Christ. So it's good you are here. I'm preaching to you. Go to Christ. But for many of you, I'm telling you that you must know Jesus well before you are. Look, the girls that are standing here, not all of them are correct. They are sexy girls in the system. If you don't have Jesus, like Rima, you are a man in the choir with these girls. Hey, me, I'll be afraid to be a chorister. I'll be afraid to be a chorister. I'll be afraid. These girls, these juicy girls. No. I'll then let go for the new convert school. The older ones are there. I'll be safer. And you are among them. You are just relaxed. So relaxed that you can sing solo and do lead. Sing reggae with them. Yo. You've not seen something. It's just one rehearsal. It's just one rehearsal which ends late. And as you are going, you see a girl standing alone. You say, no, I can't pass. It's difficult for me to pass by somebody who is alone. I'll put you in my car. Kindness. And as you are going with her to her house, something, there's a ruffling in the bush. Then she holds you. By the time she releases you, you have kissed for 3 minutes. I shouldn't say such things, not so. I shouldn't. A pastor shouldn't talk like that, not so. But if she holds you, and you are already holding Jesus, see. If she holds you and all you are holding is your pastor, who is not there? He's not there. He's in his house. He's with his wife. And when do you even remember that the pastor at that time is holding his wife? First to the Lord. First to the Lord. First to the Lord. Eden, first to the Lord. Because this laptop is the dangerous thing to work with. First. First. If you don't have the Lord first, then don't do this work. Play the keyboard. Makatusa bakaya. Mandiko stebre mayatuma. Ai kadiasumi. Amandusa bakata. Yamandama sanda. Imando, abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. That's the point. Abide in Christ. Not abide in your pastor or abide in the church. It's good to abide in the church, but number one is Christ. It will always be Christ. If you don't know Christ, that's the service. It's a boring service. It's not boring to you. It's boring because you don't know Jesus. It's boring. Let me give you one more. This is just... this is just 2 minutes because I need to close my church. Jesus' sixth law. Take this one. Slow deterioration and withering is a sign of those who no longer bear fruit. Say slow.
Slow.
Say slow.
Slow.
That's why a pastor yesterday in the around midnight, I was having one of the most important meetings. Last night, I've not slept well today. It was good. Because see, one of the things, many of you are expecting sudden deterioration. Like as we are here, then Sister Emma leaves the church. Then she has left. No, you must have an eye to notice slow, unremarkable, innocuous deterioration. Notice. Even that, when you are preaching, notice that this girl, 3 months ago, she used to be very active during the preaching. Now she's just sitting there and not moving. She's in the church. She has a Bible, but she's deteriorating. She used to be in front here. This is the girl. We have always been here. How come these days you sit at the back? Slow. Notice. Notice members who used to relate texts, check how it is. Then now, slow. Used to hear from her twice a week. Now, once in 2 weeks. Slow. Say slow. You need to notice it because few things, well, even a tree, when you cut the tree, the leaves are still green for some time. So you must have the ability to see that this leaf is green. This leaf is green. But the type of green shows that it's not really connected properly. Orangey green. Yeah. With marginal foldings. Katasuna. Notice it. See it in yourself. What's your name, my dear? Linda. Selikem. Yes. You should notice in yourself when you are backsliding slowly. Yes. You think less of Jesus, less of God. And you are beginning to think more of your PE teacher, physical education teacher. You used to be so excited to read the Bible. Now you read it, but there's no, it's not exciting. Notice it in yourself. Because a lot of the big things in your life must be noticed, will not be seen by someone. Yet, what will destroy you is hardly beyond the view of people in your life. It's when you are destroyed that we see. Have the ability to see in yourself that you are back, that your love is going down. Even your love for your husband is going down. Your love for your wife is going down. Rather, it's the lead singer you are interested in. All these are signs. Say slowly. Your prayer life is not as exciting as it was before. So I'm talking about having the ability to see it in people. To see. That's why I told myself that how I was to my pastor 30 years ago, that's how I'll be. The passion with which I was chasing him, it's the same passion with which I'll chase him today. Yes. I remember there were some meetings my pastor was going to have, and he didn't think that it was good for me to be attending those meetings. He had to invite me to his office and explain to me why I shouldn't come. And they served me with tea. Give me points. Why this series of meetings, I should be away. I should just concentrate on my little church I'm building to grow. There had to be a meeting to explain to me. That is why, that's my life I'm talking to you about. He called for me. I sat in his office. We see, explain that this is the reason I'm doing this, for this reason and this and that, because of this and that and that. And as he was talking, they brought tea. We were drinking tea to explain to me why I should not attend the meeting. But you, we have meetings with you rather to explain to you why you should be in the meeting. Can you stand to your feet? Let's close this. Say slow. Listen, only a few things will change suddenly. Only a few things. Even those things, it takes a storm, a major storm, to bring down the tree suddenly. You go to bed, the tree is standing. In the morning, it's down. It takes a cataclysmic event. Most things, your backsliding, the pregnancy you are going to have out of wedlock. When I say it, you say slow. Your backsliding,
slow.
Your pregnancy out of wedlock,
slow.
Your unspirituality that will lead to drugs,
slow.
Your self-destruction with drug dealers,
slow.
Your prostitution,
slow.
Your mental illness,
slow.
Your rebellion,
slow.
Your disloyalty,
slow.
To the level of open rebellion.
Yourself
annihilation. Yes. That is removing yourself from the church. Disappearing from the church by yourself. Self annihilation. Slow. Lift your two hands. Imanuma. John 15, 6. Look at something. Let me show you. I forgot. Normally, every point has a verse. So let me give you the verse so that you don't say, he's just preaching. He just comes to talk. He's just talking without any verse. Scriptures in him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. To be burned, to become ashes, doesn't happen suddenly. As you stand there as a black beauty, you can become a sexy, red-faced, fair-colored girl with Gucci handbag and high heels in the church, with men lined up behind you for the afternoon. By the evening, you'd have made nothing less than $1,500 because you are a prostitute.
slow. How does it start? Not abiding in him. You are into your lady pastor. You are into your pastor. But you are not in Jesus. Then you are there like that. Then you fall off as a branch. But you, some of you have fallen off, but you are still here. And then when you fall off, you are still nice and juicy. Then you begin to wither. And still, you are around. And then when you wither, men gather you. Area boys gather you. Evil spirits gather you. Men who couldn't have stood in front of you to say nonsense now can talk to you. They stand in front of you and describe your breast and your waist and everything to you as you are standing there. Men gather you. And then it's not over. They cast you into the fire. It's not over. Being in the fire, the three Hebrew boys were in the fire. Being in fire, it's not over. It goes on. And some of you are here, you are in fire. In 7 months, there's somebody here. You'll be in church, but you'll be in a major crisis 7 months from now. Note it. That's the fire. So you are not bent, you are in the church. But the day comes when you turn to ashes. That's the day. So when they see ashes, you are no more in church, no more a believer. They think that, what happened last week? Nothing happened last week. It's been a long time coming. Watch yourself. No one turns to ashes suddenly. It's always, in America we say, it's a process. A process. It's a process. Glory to God. Lift your hands and ask the Lord for the eyes to see slow deterioration in you. Lift up your eyes, your hands to see. Nalaba.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aruma Maga.
Jesus.
Postaba. Inaluma ki posa.
Oh God.
Ine satua mahana.
Oh God.
Ina madu.
Ay,
pray.
Oh, but the
Bible says, examine yourself.
Because
there are certain parts of you. You should be able to see that your love for God is going down, and then you recharge yourself.
Let me be rooted in you, O God. Let me
lift your hands and pray. Lift your hands and pray. Pray, 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 pray. You know, please put your hand down and close your eyes. I feel that somebody is hungry here. Somebody here is hungry for salvation. Everybody, close your eyes, please. I've preached the word of God. I've talked to you. I've warned you. I've advised you. I've said it all. This is the moment of decision. And as every head is bowed, I'm going to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. If you are here like that,
Jesus.
As every eye is closed, close your eyes and bow your head. You can lift your hand wherever you are. I want to pray
Jesus
with you right now. Yes, lift it high. Pastor, I want to be born again. You want to receive Jesus. Lift your hand high.
Jesus.
Yes. I'm not a weed smoker. I'm not a thief. But I feel that I need to take that particular decision to give my life to Jesus well.
Jesus.
Lift your hand high. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. If your hand is up, I want you to please come and meet me here. Come to the front here. Come. Come here. Come here. Come. Yes. Yes. God bless you. Come.
It will provide your healing. Come running to that mercy.
No, 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 no. Please, let me go back. Who pushed him here? You did? Who? Did he raise his hands? Oh, then come. No one should force anybody to want God. John Wesley calls it the warming of your heart. The warming. Your heart warms up in you. Anybody who has been asked to come here should go back. You should be here because you have thought about life and thought about your life, and you have heard the word, and you feel that, no, I must stop this life and give my life to Christ properly. So I'm warning ushers especially, and placenta leaders and pastors, don't coax anybody to give his life to Christ. You are, last week I talked about immunization. You are going to give the person just a little of Christ, and the person now develops antibodies to resist Christ because he has some of Christ. Can you lift your two hands? Can you lift your two hands, everybody, including those in front? And I want you to say this prayer. Say after me, Heavenly Father, my Father, today, at long last, my heart has been warmed by your word. I've received your word, and I realize from the mirror of your word that I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I am evil.
I am evil.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I've done many bad things.
I've done many bad things.
I need you to save me.
I need you to save
oh,
me.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Please save me.
Please save me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Make me brand new.
Make me brand new.
New enough.
New enough.
To walk with you.
To walk with you.
To start this life.
To start this life.
By obedience.
By obedience.
To your word.
To your word.
To your voice.
To your voice.
To your spirit.
To your spirit.
Oh God.
Oh God.
From today.
From today.
I declare.
Claire,
I am born again.
I am born again.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
Everything is new.
Everything is new.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For my salvation.
For my salvation.
I will walk with you.
I'll walk with you.
I will serve you.
I'll serve you.
I will follow you.
I'll follow you.
My life has changed.
Has changed.
I'm no more a child.
A child
of the devil.
Of the devil.
A child.
A child
of the world.
Of the world.
I'm a child.
I'm a child
of God.
Of God.
I thank you.
I thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well done. God bless you. 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 What's your name? Michael. God bless you. God bless you. What's your name? Gideon. Very, very powerful name. God bless you. God bless you. What's your name? Ezekiel.
Wow.
God bless you. What's your name? Christian. Wow. What's your name? Emmanuel. Powerful names. Gideon. Christian. Ezekiel. What a day. See our pastor standing there? Yes. She's holding School of the Web. So we don't know what she her mind is not even on the work she's doing. She's just going to grab something, because the work she's doing is not as important to her as the dressing she has dressed to church. The mind is not on the work. You may think because I'm a woman, I talk a lot. Her sign says, follow me. Now I can understand. Please. It's no more School of the Word. It is what? Follow me. So please follow her. And everything she says, do it. Clap your hands. And let's welcome our pastor to lead us to have the communion.
Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood
do you all have your communion elements? So hallelujah. Amen. We've just had a powerful word. I want us to lift our hands and just pray that, Lord, I want to see Jesus. John 12 verse 20, they said that Jesus. We would see Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Somebody lift your hands. Lift your hands and say, I want to see Jesus. We come to
want
church
to see Jesus.
There's a lot of movement at the back. Can we? Can
want
the movement
to see Jesus.
I want us to pray and say, I want to see Jesus.
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 I want to see Jesus. Let it be a cry from your heart this morning.
I want to see Jesus.
Say, Brodo Kovozola Bahayanama.
I want to see Jesus.
I want to see Jesus. I want to hear you praying, Lord. I want to see you. I have come to church
Jesus,
to see Jesus.
I want to see you.
I want to see Jesus.
I want to see you, Lord. You are the one I want to see.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Is my key too low?
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Sing, it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, I'm coming
back to the altar worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it.
Oh,
when it's all about you. When it's all about you, Jesus.
Sing it, it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about
it's all about
you.
Jesus. It's all about
it's
Jesus.
All about you. Oh, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, it's all about you.
It's all about you.
Sing it for the last time, that it is all
Jesus.
About Jesus. Oh, it's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Oh,
it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Somebody lift your hands and say, it's all about Jesus.
It's all
I want you to pray
you.
From your heart this morning. You know, we come to church to meet Jesus. You don't come to church to meet a man. I want you to meet Jesus. Tell the Lord that it's all about you this morning. The preaching has finished, but I want you to tell Jesus that Lord, it's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
Pasura
the presence of God is in our midst. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is searching your heart. It's making you realize that the reality that what you need is Jesus. To bear fruit, we must abide and abide in Jesus.
It's all about you.
Thank you, Lord. Sapata
Sakavahaya. It's all about you.
Hallelujah. If you have your bread, lift up your bread. Sole mende. Ikora dahava suana namayana mahade. Jesus. Thank you for welcoming us to your table this morning, Lord, that we may partake of your body. Lord, as we lift up this bread, we confess that it is your body. And as we eat it, all the goodness that is in your body is coming into us in the name of Jesus. Lord, let stroke be bound. Let sugar diabetes be bound. Let arthritis be bound. Let migraine be bound. Let irregular menstrual cycle be changed. Let pain in the ears disappear by reason of the body of Jesus. Please eat it. Sasumana Namahayanda Bahayade Alala Bahada Hayala Gazala Lamana Nama Eapali Alala Babada Bahalo Atosa. Jesus. Lord, as we lift the cup up, Lord, we drink it knowing that it is your blood. The cup you are holding in your hand is no longer the just wine. It is the very blood of Jesus. This is the blood that purchased your redemption. And this is the blood that washed you clean of all the sins you have ever committed. May the life of Jesus come into you as you drink this blood, the blood of Jesus. Somebody just lift your hands this morning and expect a blessing from the Lord. Lift your hands and expect a blessing. It is what you expect that you receive. Pesovra diles que prodoles anamalos e perevedese suna mahaniates e condamino sovelehede so passava hala curiates.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makene Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.